You're listening to All Things Considered on KTOO. I'm Yvonne Crumry. Juneau will soon have new maps of its tidal wetlands. This fall, a team of scientists led by the Southeast Alaska Land Trust gathered dozens of aerial surveys and thousands of photos. And they conducted various tests of habitat health. Their goal is to better document the value of Juneau's important tidal ecosystems and the way it's changed over the last 40 years.
Mendenhall Wetlands State Game Refuge has protected Juneau's tidelands since the late 70s. Maps from that time show an abundance of high meadows where black bears roam, marshes where waterfowl roost, and seaweed beds that are home to mussels, barnacles, and young fish. But the ecosystem has changed rapidly since then, with ongoing development pressures and land that's rising nearly an inch a year as Juneau's glaciers retreat. Matt Robis with the Southeast Alaska Land Trust said it didn't seem wise to manage lands based on 40-year-old maps when the changes are happening so fast.
And so we decided to go out there and really do a survey of the whole 5,200 acres or so in order to get a handle on what are the habitats now and, really importantly, what are the functional aspects of those habitats.
Wetlands clean water and sequester carbon, for instance. They're critical habitats for migratory birds from all over the world, and many of the krill that feed Juneau's resident humpback whales and the fish that populate rivers from here to the Chilkat Valley are born in Juneau's tidelands.
The Mendenhall Flats is this wildlife and fish factory that's sitting there cranking out resources without us having to do anything other than kind of leave it alone.
Leaving the wetlands alone is one of the main goals of the Land Trust. They manage nearly two dozen wetland properties around town that are set away for conservation. The Land Trust hopes that a new map will help to push back against development pressures, which have been growing since the original map was created in 1979.
Anyone who marches out into the flats or walks their dog on the airport dike trail can look around and see how many more private properties have been developed right down against the edge of the refuge, all the way around the perimeter, pretty much.
The biggest proposed development is the Juneau-Douglas Second Crossing. That project aims to construct a new route connecting Juneau and Douglas. Though it's still in its planning phase, many of the proposed routes cut through wetlands, including the Mendenhall State Game Refuge. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game manages the refuge, and they were a partner on the mapping project. Robis says new maps will better capture what's at stake if the Second Crossing moves forward.
We've already, over the years, affected or removed at least 40% of what used to be the Mendenhall wetlands. And so what we've got left is a somewhat of a remnant, although it's a healthy remnant. And we just, in my opinion, need to be extremely careful with what we do to it from here on out.
Though they're still in draft form, the maps are expected to be done by the spring, ahead of the next planning phase for the Second Crossing. In Juneau, I'm Anna Canny.
Governor Mike Dunleavy is casting doubt on the future of a bill that would move many public sector workers back to a pension system.
The proposal passed the bipartisan majority Senate in late January, and if it's signed into law, many employees of state and local governments, including teachers, would have the option to switch from the existing defined contribution retirement plan to a pension plan. Proponents pitch it as a way to improve hiring and retention. In a news conference on Wednesday, Dunleavy said he was skeptical that a pension plan would make a significant difference in recruiting young people.
Full disclaimer, I'm a tier one retiree. I was a teacher. But younger folks appear to be less interested in that.
Supporters of the bill have said a pension system would help keep mid- and late-career police officers, teachers, and other government workers in their jobs. But Dunleavy said he preferred another idea, a three-year pilot program to provide teachers with yearly bonuses of between $5,000 and $15,000. Earlier this year, the House's Republican-led majority rolled the Dunleavy proposal into a larger education reform package currently up for negotiation between House and Senate lawmakers.
So I would say that this issue that we're talking about in terms of recruitment and retention will have a much larger impact.
Dunleavy also touted investments in the Department of Public Safety that he said were meant to help recruit and retain state troopers. Dunleavy stopped short of issuing a veto threat on the pension plan, saying he had not seen the bill that passed the Senate on January 31st.
But I'll tell you this. We got to also stop being a Make-A-Wish Foundation, meaning there's a lot of great ideas, but if you don't have the money to be able to do it, you got to allocate your limited resources to the places you think are going to have the best outcome. And that'll be a decision I have to make.
Senate leadership has said the bill would not substantially increase the cost of retirement benefits, but opponents are skeptical. It's unclear whether the pension bill will make it to Dunleavy's desk. It's been referred to three House committees, which have yet to schedule a hearing on the bill. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Eric Stone.
Sitka is the only community in Southeast Alaska with a landslide warning system. Developers of that system visited Petersburg last month. They led a community work session to explore the possibility of creating a warning system specific to Petersburg. KFSK's Hannah Floor has the story.
A couple dozen people fill a conference room at Petersburg's public library. They're discussing ways to get more detailed information about rainfall.
One weather station identified. I know there's other nerds in this community that have weather stations.
The work session is led by developers of a landslide warning system in Sitka. After a slide killed three people in 2015, many groups came together to develop a warning system for the town. Jackie Foss is a U.S. Forest Service program manager and was involved in Sitka's landslide response. She says that because Petersburg hasn't had a fatal landslide, residents are in a different position than some other communities.
They have the opportunity to figure out what they want before they've experienced tragedy. And so that's a very different place, and it's a pretty remarkable place to start from.
But a lack of fatal landslides isn't the same as a lack of risk. Ed Wood lives about 6 miles out Petersburg's Mitkoff Highway, in an area prone to slides. He says by his count, there have been 11 landslides along the highway in the last four decades.
Some night, it's going to let loose up there, and somebody along that stretch of road is going to wake up dead.
Wood says he hopes the work session will result in a warning system that increases people's understanding of landslide risk and helps them have enough information to make their own decisions.
You can listen to the weather forecast, you can look out the window, but it still doesn't tell you exactly what's going on.
Giving people the information to make their own decisions is central to Sitka's landslide response. The town's warning system is designed to be user-driven. An app reports risk levels, and community members decide what they're comfortable with. Lisa Bush is director of the Sitka Sound Science Center, the lead organization in the development of the warning system. She says each warning system needs to be place-specific.
You gotta involve the community in developing these kind of warning systems. And it's gotta reflect community values and community members' sense of risk.
Bush says community conversations are key to developing a place-specific warning system. She says the first step is to consider whether there is community will. She says that was apparent in Petersburg.
I was really heartened by all of the people in Petersburg that are interested in the topic and all the different angles that they come from.
The second is to look at the data that's already available. It turns out there is a lot of information that's useful to Petersburg. The U.S. Forest Service has an inventory of past landslides. That information can be combined with historical rainfall data to build a model that shows how much rain results in landslides in each specific area. The state mapped landslide risk areas on Mitkoff Island about 15 years ago. That map shows high-risk areas between about 3 Mile and 7 Mile on Mitkoff Highway. The Forest Service has data of Mitkoff Island and the surrounding area from a remote sensing method called LIDAR. That data creates a detailed model of the surface of the land, which can be used to predict landslides as well. More detailed data, like rainfall measurements from rain gauges placed around the island, could increase the prediction accuracy. Sunny Rice is with the Petersburg Marine Mammal Center and helped put together the landslide work session. Rice says next steps include gathering all the current data and outreach to potential partner organizations like the National Weather Service, Department of Transportation, and the U.S. Forest Service. She says it's also important to make sure that people who live along Mitkoff Highway understand their vulnerability. And she says while a lot can be learned from Sitka's warning system,
I don't think we want to think about just doing exactly what they did because we're a different place.
Figuring out what's right for Petersburg will take time and lots of community conversations. But Rice says that with the strong showing of people at the event and all the data already available, she's feeling optimistic.
I think we can do it. I think it's going to take some time. I think we heard that for sure. And I think we're going to need a lot of people coming together to help make it happen. But I think it will.
The Sitka Sound Science Center is currently working with 6 tribal villages in southeast Alaska to develop landslide warning systems for each of those communities. And Wrangell has started looking at ways to create some sort of landslide warning platform following its fatal landslide in November. In Petersburg, I'm Hannah Flohr.
This is KTOO.